This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi ajma'in wa ba'd. Welcome again to our Saturday program, which has started since the beginning of the month of Ramadan. This is our fourth Saturday today, and Alhamdulillah, we got our invited speaker, Al-Akh Abu Taymiyyah Al-Jailani. He came all the way from Leicester. Most of us, I think we have seen him coming before here, during the Friday khutbah, as well as doing the talks and conferences. So, he's someone who's quite familiar face with us, Alhamdulillah. And we put forward this invitation for him to come again today, and he accepted it, and he's here with us. As you know, the talk is going to focus on what we are having around. As we know that we are in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, we are having that great opportunity of seeking the Laylatul Qadr. And then we have distractions around as well, especially for the youngest and rest that we've got. Euro finals is going there, Euro is going there. The important games need to be played in this time. At the same time, Allah requested to seek the Laylatul Qadr. So the talk will be focusing on the essence of the Laylatul Qadr and the misconception about it as well. And also the talk will be about how the Salafi regarding the matters of Eid, of the Eid day, how the Salafis used to come out on the day of Eid. What were the manners? What were characters? What they were advising when the coming of the Eid as well. So our talk, inshallah, we'll focus on these key points. The talk will run about 1 hour, we're looking for. And after that, we'll be followed by Q&A, question and answers. And we'll ask the sisters, if you have any questions throughout the talk, please can you write them down, and you can bring them forward to be answered later on, inshallah. Fadl Shah, mashkur.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wa al-mursaleen.
Nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Is the microphone all right?
Yeah, it's good. We can adjust it there.
Brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, as our Shaykh, he announced, the lecture will be about Euro 2016, inshallah ta'ala, versus Laylatul Qadr. I know there's a lot of people that wanted to come to the lecture today, but it looks like the temptation of watching the glamorous game, I don't even know there was a game on, but apparently there's two big teams playing now called Italy and Germany. Wallah, I didn't know. Sheikh Ja'far just told me Italy is going to be playing Germany. I thought it was just yesterday when Wales played against Belgium, I think. Naam. And that was just about it. So it's a problem that a lot of us, we suffer from. It's an addiction that we have. Sometimes you find a guy, the addicted individual to cocaine, or he's addicted to weed. When he wants to stop himself, what happens? He's addicted, right? He finds it very, very difficult, he's shaken. And subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, we have reached the stage where we begin to shake, or it bothers us. Once we are put far away from watching these football games, people like Ronaldo, people like Messi, now you have Bale, Wales, which are part of the United Kingdom, they've reached the semi-finals. It's very, very tempting. There are people. We hold a British passport. We hold a British passport. It's our team. They are in our hearts, brothers and sisters. You know this kind of mentality that I see a lot of people having, brothers and sisters? You know, before the month of Ramadan, people were saying, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to change when the month of Ramadan comes. Hey, and then when the month of Ramadan comes, he says to himself, no, wait till Laylatul Qadr. When Laylatul Qadr comes, then I'm going to change. But you find obstacles and problems that come to him, even in the month of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, and I'm going to ask a question, inshallah ta'ala, so pay attention. إِذَا دَخَلَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّغَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ وَسُلْسِلَةِ الشَّيَاطِينِ. When the month of Ramadan comes, the doors of Jannah are swung open. And the doors of hellfire are slammed shut. And the shayateen are locked up. How is it that the Prophet ﷺ tells us the shayateen are locked up, but a lot of us Muslims today, even in the month of Ramadan, we do all sorts of ma'asi, all sorts of sins, all sorts of evil things, unlawful acts. And we are attached to watching some of the worst of creation. Who can answer that question? Why is it today that your friend, he cannot come to the masjid, but he's attached to watching Germany and Italy? When the shayateen are locked up, he should be able to do the ibadat wholeheartedly without any problem. That's a question.
Sual.
When the shaytan are locked up though, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us. Sorry?
Habits.
Good. Very good. A very good answer. The fact that we have such bad habits and we are so used to things outside the month of Ramadan, so when the month of Ramadan comes and the shayateen are locked up, we still have them habits. We still have them habits. Even though the big shayateen might not be there. But because we are so used to it, even in the month of Ramadan we do it. Can them brothers, inshallah ta'ala, who are sitting on the wall, mashallah, Allah Azza wa Jal gave you strength, you are still able to run, you don't have any back problems, like the guy who may have reached the age of 90, 100, please, inshallah ta'ala, come forward. All of you up, at the back. Thank Allah Azza wa Jal that He gave you strength and that you're still in your youth. Some of our fathers, genuinely, they have problems, they find it difficult to sit, but you don't have a problem. Can you come to the front, inshallah? Don't worry, I don't bite. Come. We're speaking about football. You love football, right? Come, come, come. Come, come, come to the front. Don't be shy. You four. Come, come, come. You. Yes, you. What's your favorite sport? Huh? What's your favorite sport?
Football.
We're speaking about football, you should be the first one here. Yeah? It's very difficult to speak like that. Where was we? What was he speaking about? The hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the shayateen are locked up. But even in the month of Ramadan, this carries on. We are so used to these bad habits, brothers and sisters, that even in the month of Ramadan. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, if only we knew the virtue of Ramadan and what comes out of it, wallahi, we wouldn't waste a minute. Let alone 90 minutes in the month of Ramadan. 1 minute, we wouldn't waste it. We would busy ourselves with ibadat, as-sawm, wa kadhalika qira'at al-Qur'an, reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask you a question. Why did the Salaf, and when we say Salaf, we mean who? The Sahaba, wa tabi'in, wa tabi'at tabi'in. The three golden generations. Why would they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 6 months, not 1 month, or 2 months, or 3 months? I think it's the phone. 6 months before the month of Ramadan, they would ask Allah subhanahu, Allahu balighna Ramadan. If there was just minor benefits, why 6 months? 6 months before the month of Ramadan, they will ask Allah, Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, help us reach the month of Ramadan. A story I'm going to tell you, inshallah ta'ala, of Talhatu ibn Ubaidillah. Talhatu ibn Ubaidillah. Sahabi Jalil. He said that two men came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَأَسْلَمَا فِي وَقْتٍ وَاحِدٍ. They embraced Islam the same time. وَكَانَ أَحَدُهُمَا يَجْتَهِدُ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ فَمَاتَ شَهِيدًا. The first one, he used to strive hard in the ibadat, and he died as a martyr. He died as a martyr. The other individual, he died 1 year later. Does anyone know here some of the virtues of dying as a martyr?
You get
sorry?
You get buried in the clothes that you died.
Na'am, that's one. How does he come on Yom Al-Qiyamah? Jannah also, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, you know where he was stabbed? Where he was stabbed or where he got shot? لَوْنُهُ لَوْنُ دَمٍ وَرِيْحَ وَرِيْحَ مِسْكٍ. That place will be the color of blood on Yom Al-Qiyamah. And he will have the smell of musk. He will smell of musk on the day of Yom Al-Qiyamah. And you know how everyone gets tested in the grave? يُؤْمَنُ الْفَتَّانِ. He's from those that doesn't get tested in the grave. And in the Hayat al-Barzakhiyah, after he dies, he will be in the form of a green bird. To die as a shaheed, brothers and sisters, is not something small. The other individual who embraced al-Islam the same time as him, he died 1 year later. He died 1 year later. Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, he saw in a dream. All three of them were sitting down at the door of Al-Jannah. What happened? The gatekeeper came out. He took the other one, not the one that died as a shaheed, the other one. He entered into Al-Jannah first. And then he came out again. Who did he enter? The martyr. And then he goes back in. And then he comes back out again. He tells Talha ibn Ubaidillah, go back. Your time is not finished yet, in the dream. The hadith is an authentic narration. So after he woke up, obviously it's a dream, right? How is it possible now that the martyr, he entered into Al-Jannah after the other individual? So he started spreading amongst the Sahaba, they're asking why. They're looking for the interpretation. It reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said what? أَلَيْسَ هَذَا قَدْ مَكَثَ بَعْدَهُ سَنَةً. Didn't he live an extra year after him? فَصَامَ وَقَامَ فِي رَمَضَان. He fasted in the month of Ramadan and he also prayed in the month of Ramadan. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Between them both is the distance of the heavens and the earth. بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The fact that he managed to reach Ramadan. He fasted in the month of Ramadan and he stood in the month of Ramadan. Most of us, we know Muhammad Ali, right? The famous boxer. If I was to say he was the best and greatest boxer to ever walk on the face of this earth, there wouldn't be an ikhtilaf in the house. Would there be a difference of opinion? Was anyone better than him? The greatest to ever walk on the face of this earth. Nobody would dispute. Nobody would differ with me. Do you know when he died? 2 days before the month of Ramadan. And you know the funny thing is, brothers and sisters, just then I was looking, I was trying to search in the books and likewise on the internet. One of the Salaf, like the Sahaba or the Tabi'in or the Tabi'a Tabi'in, who may have died just before the month of Ramadan. So I could use it as an example in my lectures. So it could be as a warning to the people not to get too complacent and to make the most of Ramadan and not to lose out on this blessing that many people were given. But then all of a sudden, a public icon, someone that everybody knows about, it reached me that he had passed away. He didn't get this opportunity. Many people died before the month of Ramadan were receiving WhatsApp messages. Everybody go to Saffron Lane Cemetery. Fulan ibn Fulan has passed away. I ask you, billahi alayk, do you think any of these people were thinking that I might die before the month of Ramadan? Most people, what do? They go to Azda, they go to Lidu, They go to Sainsbury's and they pack their houses with the food to be ready for the month of Ramadan. It barely crosses your mind that you could pass away. That shows you, brothers and sisters, Malakul Maut, the angel of death, he's not going to WhatsApp you. You're not going to receive a Facebook message or a Twitter message. Listen, Akhi, I'm coming, get ready. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells you, Yatikum Baghta. It will come to you unexpectedly. The question is, brothers and sisters, are we prepared? Do we think about the angel of death? And you had the people that were saying, oh, Laylatul Qadr. When Laylatul Qadr comes, then I'm going to start practicing. Do you know Ibn Majah, rahimahullah ta'ala? Ibn Majah, rahimahullah ta'ala, was like Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, and Nisa'i. When you hear the books of six, the six books of hadith, one of them is who? Ibn Majah. Sometimes the hadith was narrated by Ibn Majah, rahimahullah ta'ala. The six famous books of hadith. Do you know when he died? Who can guess? 8 days before the month of Ramadan. There's a possibility he may have reached the 21st. But he missed out on the remaining of the Ramadan. It's an example, it's a warning to all of us. Those people who only on a part-time basis they worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And even they tell themselves, but at the same time it slips away from them. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave you this great opportunity to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla in the month of Ramadan, and you waste it. You have the audacity to waste this present of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Shaqiya abdun adraka Ramadan fansanaqa minhu falam yaghfir lahu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, woe to him! Woe to him! Woe to him, as it came in the narration three times. A person, he manages to reach the month of Ramadan. It slips away from him, he wastes it. And he's not forgiven. It slips away from him and he doesn't take advantage of it. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, إِنَّ الشَّهْرَ قَدْ حَضَرَكُمْ وَفِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. The month has come to you, there's a night in it that is better than 1,000 months. فَمَنْ حُرِمَهَا فَقَدْ حُرِمَ الْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ. Whoever's prevented this night, he has been prevented of all good. All of the good has been prevented. If you miss out on this night. People think Ramadan is just about what? Hayya, I pray Taraweeh, I go to sleep till Fajr. طيب. After Fajr, I go to sleep all the way to Dhuhr. I wake up, and some people don't even wake up. بعد الظهر إلى العصر. Then he wakes up again. Then from Asr إلى المغرب. He tells Hoya, wake me up at the time of iftar. Or when the iftar is ready, then I'm going to come down. And his whole month of Ramadan goes like this. Or the whole month he's watching what you in 2016. Yesterday, Wales were playing who? Belgium. MashaAllah, the kids know, straight away. At the time of Sa'at al-Istijaba. At the time of what? When there is an hour of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, there's an hour on a Friday, the last hour, that when a person, he asks Allah Azza wa Jalla, won't reject his dua, will accept it straight away. Billahi alayk. We have problems in our life, there's so many things that we want. Our Muslim Ummah suffering. The guy wasted that 1 hour watching Sharr al-Bariyah, the worst of creation. And I'll tell you why. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِي أُولَئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. The ayah that most of our youngsters have memorized. Surah what? Which surah is in? Al-Bayyinah. لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. The people of the book, the kuffar, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us they are the worst of creation. Those who commit shirk and kufr. Hey, when a player scores, what does he do? Jesus, I'm for you. Or he takes off his shirt, which has shirkiyat in it. The Barcelona team. You don't know Barcelona, right? Messi, and what's the other guy's name? Neymar. And the third one?
Ronaldo.
Suarez. Ronaldo plays for Madrid. Hey, what did this Barcelona team do? Our Muslim brothers and sisters who are dying in Palestine, they went to Israel and they all wore the hat. How much did Messi donate to Israel? €1 million. €1 million. These are the kind of people that we love, that we waste the opportunity of Ramadan for, the worst of creation. And when he scores goal, he's a shirk. He puts his hands up to not Allah, yani worshiping Jesus. This is for Jesus. Brothers and sisters, come to reality. Opportunities that Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving us, and we waste it for what? These kind of people. A guy who pays €1 million to Israel, what's Israel going to do with it? Give you iftar. They're going to kill Muslims with it. Something that is known that even the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, they condemn. They warn against. They say, no. This is not from Judaism. The guy doesn't even probably wash himself properly. Some of these football players. You're standing up in prayer. You have the opportunity to act upon the hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qama Ramadan wa ja'a fi riwayatin man yaqum laylatul qadr iman wa ihtisam ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Whoever stands on the day of Laylatul Qadr and whoever stands in Ramadan with iman and also he is seeking the reward, his past sins are forgiven. People think, okay, the match is only going to be on for between 8 to 9:30. I'm breaking my iftar, then I'm going to go and pray. It's not affecting my Laylatul Qadr. People think it's only a physical preparation. La wallahi, it's not. Likewise, emotionally and mentally, you need to be ready. For what? To stand in front of your Lord. I ask you a question. For those who have worked, a person has had a bad day at work. His boss bullied him, his boss swore at him, his boss treated him inaccordingly, badly. He's going to come home, what's going to happen? He's going to come home, he's going to take his anger out on who? His parents, or even his wife, or his close relatives. It affected him mentally, right? That's how the human works. And billahi alaik, the guy that has been watching his favorite team, whether it's England, or whether it's Wales, or whether it's Italy, Spain, wherever it might be, or Holland. But this year, unfortunately, to a lot of our Somali brothers, Holland wasn't in the Euro 2016. I have a Dutch passport, by the way. A team that you love, that your heart is connected to, that you love so much, brothers and sisters, they lose. Is it not going to affect you? Wallahi, me personally, back in the day, when I used to live near Highbury Stadium, I used to love Arsenal. Especially Thierry Henry, I used to love him. And the day when Arsenal lost, it would affect me. It would affect me. I'm attached to them, right? I love them. Not now, obviously, back in the day. Before they had Emirates, they had something called Highbury. It affects the person. Imagine now a great goal is scored. Someone does an overhead kick from outside the box. And he's thinking about it. He's standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, or is he thinking about the match? Ronaldo's going through your head. Or the way Gareth Bale scored is going through your head. And you're praying in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. You just saw an amazing goal. Wallahi, you're going to think about it. Even in your salat. Remember, brothers and sisters, you know when Jama' prays, and when Muhammad prays, or when Khadija prays, and when Shugufta prays, wallahi, they're all different. Laysu sawa, they're not the same. The guy that's concentrating his prayer, and the guy who's thinking about what his mom cooked for him, for suhoor, you think they're the same? Or he's thinking, where's my car keys? Oh, that goal. He's hypnotized of that goal that took place. and the guy who's concentrating fully, do you think they are the same? بالله عليك. لا والله ليس سواء. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَنْصَرِفُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ فَمَا كُتِبَ لَهُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ لَعُشْرُهَا أو تِسْعُهَا أو ثُمُنُهَا أو سُبْعُهَا إِلَى نِسْفُهَا. A man, he comes out of salat, he only got 1/10 of the reward. Or 1/6 of the reward. Or 1/70, or 1/60, or 1/50, إلى half. People are different when it comes to the salawat. Another example I give, for example, when it comes to now raising your hand in the salat, we don't say to that person, if you don't raise your hand, your salat is batil abadan. We don't say that to him. But it is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ta'awwam alayhi, he done it regularly. You're missing out on reward. Can the person now who applies every sunnah in the salat be the same as the guy that leaves us from sunnah? He leaves off some acts that are mustahab, highly recommended, that the Prophet used to do all the time. They can't be the same. And likewise, the guy that's concentrating, he's on point in his salat. You need to prepare yourself mentally. You need to clear your mind. You need to think about the salat beforehand, not just in a rush like that, and you run into the prayer. There's the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, don't run to the salat. You're going to go into the prayer and you're rushing. You're hasty. You're on some other thing. You need to calm down. فَلْيَأْتُ إِلَيْهَا بِالْوِقَارِ وَالسَّكِينَةِ. Come to it with tranquility and calmness. So a person, he can be calm when he's standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you're either watching Match of the Day at the time of Taraweeh, or the time of Laylatul Qadr, or you have to now choose between the hadith, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا قَامَ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَإِنَّهُ يُنَجِّي رَبَّهُ. When a person, he stands up for the prayer, he's interacting with your Lord. With his Lord, sorry. So, it's your choice. You have a few days remaining, brothers and sisters. Do not waste it. If you have wasted it, you still have an opportunity. People always tend to ask the question, okay, if Laylatul Qadr, for example, is in one side of the world, what about the other side? It's going to be daylight, right? Here it's going to be night. And then sometimes the people say, no, it's definitely on the 27th. How do you put all of this together? Okay, is the Laylatul Qadr here tonight, yeah? On the other side of the world, there's no night. What do they have? Naharul Qadr? Laylatul Qadr in the morning? What do we do now? It is a misconception that deceives a lot of people. Wallahi, brothers and sisters. He's waiting, okay, 27th, you see the masajid packed out. It's not going to be the same as the 23rd, watch. How the masjid was yesterday, you find, especially in big masajids, not the same. It dies out the next day. How then the people come back on the 29th? And it dies out again. Okay, but it could be Laylatul Qadr here, and what about the other side of the world? What the ulama, they say, to get out of this whole confusion, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجتهد في عشر الأواخر ما لا يجتهد في غيره. He used to strive and work hard in the last 10 days like no other day. Every day, make it like a Laylatul Qadr from the last 10 days. The 20th, the 21st, the 23rd, إلا the 30th. بالله عليك. If a person now, every single day, he pays a pound of sadaqah, is he going to miss out on Laylatul Qadr? Of course not. He's going to at least get that day. Because it's going to be one of these days, right? It's going to be one of these days. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specified, and he told us in a hadith 30, إِلْتَمِسُوا فِي عَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ. Try and look for it. Search for it in the last 10 days. Then there's another hadith that makes it more specific. إِلْتَمِسُوهَا فِي عَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ فَمَنْ عَجَزَ أو what was the hadith again? فَمَنْ عَجَزَ إِلْتَمِسُوهَا فِي عَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ فَمَنْ ضَعُفَ أَوْ عَجَزَ فَلَا يَغْلَبَنَّ عَلَيْهِ سَبْعَ الْبَوَاخِرِ. Look for it in the last 10 days. Whoever becomes weak, or becomes lazy, then don't let the last 7 days get away from him. So you have the last 7 days now, right? Then the Prophet said, "Iltamisu fil witr min al-ashr al-awakhir." Search for it in the odd nights of the last 10 days. Then in the hadith of Ubad ibn Samit, he specified the 29th, the 27th, and the 25th. But even though we have all these narrations, brothers and sisters, like we mentioned before, it might be Laylatul Qadr on one side of the world. What about the other side? Just worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day of the last 10 days as if it is Laylatul Qadr. And you won't miss out, inshaAllah ta'ala. Whether it's a pound, whether it's 2 pounds, whether it's 3 pounds, pay it every single day. You have 3 days remaining, pay sadaqah on every single day. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala yuqbal mink. Read Quran in the last three days, Prophet said, don't waste it. Don't be from those in the hadith I previously mentioned. After all these opportunities he was given, he comes to the month of Ramadan and he wastes it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, woe to him. Woe to him, woe to him. He manages to reach the month of Ramadan. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهُ فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ. It slips away from him and he's not forgiven. On your toes, brothers and sisters, as they say. Another thing I want to point out, inshallah ta'ala, brothers, and we tend to be very heedless about it, is the issue of Tawbah. There's no one that's on the face of this earth except he makes mistakes. Some of us may have fallen into zina in the month of Ramadan. Yahsul. It happens. People contact us, they say, Ya Akhi, I've done this. There's people who may even have stolen in the month of Ramadan. There's people also, brothers and sisters, who may have struggled to control their mouths. They engaged in sittings of ghiba, backbiting, slandering, swearing at one another. No one here, brothers and sisters, is free from mistake. We all make mistakes. Hadith al-Khusri, قال الله تبارك وتعالى إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار ونغفر الذنوب جميعا فاستغفرون أغفر لكم. Allah Azza wa Jalla told you, you make mistakes day and night. Seek my forgiveness so I can forgive you. But the problem is, brothers and sisters, this is something that we don't do. This is something, even though we make mistakes, anything you've done, you've sniffed, you've drunk, whatever it may have been, you wasted your time. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last 3 days to accept from you and to forgive your sins. That's something that we don't do. When is the last time that we thought about making tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal? Now we make mistakes, it's bound to happen, it's written down. Hey, what then? And most people don't engage in this. Whatever it might have been, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to you, come to me. There's a verse in the Quran that I think is one of the most beautiful verses in the Quran. Say to them, O Muhammad, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَخْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Those who have transgressed against themselves, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. First, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla forgives all sins. Whatever it may have been, whether it is shirk, bid'ah, zina, sariqa, qatl, anything, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. He will forgive you. Do not lose hope. We all have been through these stages. You ask your parents, they will say to you, I did this back in the day. Unless they try to hide it from you. People have lived their life and they made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it could be the reason why you attain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, and once Allah Azza wa Jal begins to love you, you will find the success to change. إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. People sometimes tend to ask, okay, I've smoked drugs, I made tawbah, what if I go back to it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who constantly go back to Him. Don't lose hope and carry on. Keep going back to Him. Hey, you done it again? You went back to your girlfriend? Come again. But he has conditions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your intention as to why you're doing that. Are you playing around or are you serious? And I want to mention some of the shurut inshallah ta'ala. And then I'm going to talk about how the Salaf, they used to come out on the day of Eid. Especially for our sisters, and then likewise to some of our brothers. Especially the youth. Who are going to find it very, very difficult to lower their gaze with all them pretty sisters around. There's conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about and that the ulama put down. There's five conditions that the scholars mentioned, but it can be compressed to three conditions. The first condition, that one, he makes the decision, I'm not going to go back to it. You tell yourself, I'm not going to go back to it. I am not going to go back to it. Khalas, finished. The second condition, that you stop that sin there and then. Not that you're stabbing someone and saying, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Or when he's kissing his girlfriend, he's saying, Astaghfirullah. Or he's watching something haram and he's saying, make a tawbah to Allah. You have to stop it there and then. The third condition, he regrets what he's doing. He regrets what he's doing. He's regretful of his actions. يَنْدَمُ مِنْ فِعْلِ ذَلِكَ فِعْلِ. These three conditions. Hayya, why if now I oppress someone, I've backbited him, I took money from him, is it correct for me to just say, استغفرالله واتوب إليه, and I just keep him moving? Sometimes people have oppressed another person, what does he do? When he's about to go out to Hajj, he sends a broadcast on WhatsApp to everyone. If I have oppressed you, forgive me. And he's taken his money, he's oppressed him, he's backbited him, he's slandered him. Forgive me, everybody. La 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 la. If you have taken something from someone, you've oppressed that person, you need to go and seek forgiveness from that guy, that exact person. Not only at the time of Hajj. Or when you're about to go on holiday, you fear that the airplane might go upside down on you. Everybody forgive me. And brothers and sisters, bad deed, especially the sisters, I say. Because it is the sisters who may engage in backbiting and slandering and accusing more than the guys. Sometimes people feel a bit shy from that person. What is he going to think about me? What happened to your shyness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? مَنْ كَانَتْ عِنْدَهُ مَظْلِمَةٌ يَأْخِي مِنْ عِرْضِهِ أَوْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَلْيَتَحَلَّلْهُ مِنْهُ الْيَوْمِ. Whoever has oppressed his brother or spoken about his own, let him seek forgiveness now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to seek forgiveness now. Not tomorrow or when you're going out for Hajj now. Na'am, he might think bad of you, but it is a wajib that remains on your neck. And if you're happy to come on Yom Al-Qiyamah and your fasting of 2016 is going to get taken by Jama' and then Khadija is going to come, she's going to take your Hajj that you're going to do in 2019, or all them hours, 17 hours of fasting that we became so tired about, Fulan's going to come take it from 2015. إِن لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ مِنْ عَمَلِ الصَّالِحَاتِ أُخِذَ مِنْهُ أُخِذَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةِ الصَّاحِبِ فَحُمِلْ عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet told us, he has got no good deeds remaining. What happens? That person you backbited, his sins are taken and placed in your back. When all this hard work, brothers and sisters, من محبطات العمل, that will destroy a person's actions, these kind of things. Do it today. Don't wait another moment. Brothers and sisters, we have strived, we have worked hard, we have become tired of 17 hours of fasting. And then Taraweeh after that. Ta'ab, fawqa ta'ab. Wa laysa ba'da ila ta'ab. Tiredness above tiredness. And then someone's going to come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and take it from you. Because you struggle to control your tongue. Hey, you made a mistake. But then you struggle to even go to that person. Inshallah ta'ala, now brothers and sisters, I'm going to conclude with this. Some points in regards to our brothers and sisters of how to go out on Eid. That's when the shaitan is unleashed properly. Imagine a guy that you've been stopping him a drug addict. You've been keeping him in the house. What does he do? Wallahi, even if there was a, you know, a window that's half the size of the one at the back, he's going to try and go through it. Struggle to control himself. A drug addict. The shayateen, Iblis, he swore by Allah, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّ مَجْمَعِينَ. And he's been now prevented of misleading and doing his job for 30 days. It's not normal. Something that he does every single day. He's going to be unleashed, he's going to go on a mad one. And this is the day when you find, brothers and sisters, the Shisha bars are packed with who? Christians and Judaisms, or Jews. It is packed with Muslims. You go to the club, it is packed with Muslims. All the Ramadan, what was that for? You know, from the signs, Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, from the signs of an accepted action is what? That a person, he carries his on after the month of Ramadan. The makeup comes out, the jilbab gets dropped, the fancy glitter and the eyeliner, it all comes out. You know the Masuniya, the Freemasons, some of you might know, they mentioned if you want to corrupt a nation, then corrupt the women first. Because once you corrupt the women, you will be easily be able to corrupt the men. Sadaqa wa huwa kadhub. He told the truth, but he's a liar. If you want to corrupt a nation, corrupt the women. This is what the shaitan wants, and this is what the shaitan lives for. To make the woman lose her dignity, to lose her clothes. Look what happened to the story of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا نَسُوَاتِهِمَا لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا نَسُوَاتِهِمَا. He wanted, and his objective was to do what? To make them lose that which was covering them. And then only after that, when they ate from the tree, what happened? They started covering themselves with leaves. قَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا عَنْ رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجَرَةِ وَأَقُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Then I say to you that the shaitan is an evil enemy from you. But he swore, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. I swear, I am truthfully advising you. The shaitan says that. And billahi alayka, ask you youth, you youngsters, how many times do we hear this all the time? Bro, nothing's gonna happen, only one time. One time. Nothing's gonna happen. How similar is this to the statement of the shaitan? He swore to them, trust me, nothing's gonna happen. I am a sincere advisor to you. Just take your hijab off, just take one picture, don't worry. It's just one Snapchat. That picture is going to go only 15 seconds. Or let's just go see that guy, just take off your hijab, let's just do, you know, just one thing only. And then after that, one time. The shaitan or sister, he wants you just for one time, especially on Eid, to act upon that hadith. لا يدخل الجنة الكاسيات العاريات مائلات المميلات رؤوسهن كأسمنة البخت. For one time, he wants you to go under the hadith where you are dressed and naked at the same time. Where you swing and you sway. And to make your hijab like a camel's hump. You know what we see today? The hijab is like this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about it. How can you be clothed and naked at the same time? Who can explain to me? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, the woman that is clothed and naked at the same time, she won't enter into Jannah. How is that possible? Clothed and naked at the same time. Her clothing is so tight that you could see the shape of her body. From alamat al-sa'a kadhalik, from the signs of the hour. The more time goes on, the more tight the clothes is getting, And the more higher the credit is going as well. And the more naked they are becoming. The shaitan, he wants you to do this for one time. أيما امرأة استعترت فمرت على قوم ليجدوا ريحة فهي زانية. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, any woman who goes out and she's put perfume on in order for them to hear her or to smell her, sorry, she is like a fornicator. And this again happens on the day of Eid. As they say, it is dress to impress. It's the day to dress to impress. Everybody wants to look the best. You know, we are not allowed to stop the woman from going out for Eid. We are not allowed to stop them. But there's conditions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, لَا تَنَّعُوا إِمَّا اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ وَلْيَخْرُجْنَ وَهُنَّ تَفِلَاتِ. Do not stop the woman from going out to the masjid, but she needs to leave unbeautified. Makeup is a form of beautification. All these stuff that they put on their eyes and their, you know, all forms of beautification. We men, we can't stop our women from going out to the day of Eid. أم عطية رضي الله عنها, she said, أمرنا أن نخرج العواتق وذوات الخضور والحيضة إلى المصلى. We were commanded by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell the virgin girl, the young girls, and even the woman on her menses to go out to the musalla on the day of Eid. We are not allowed to stop them, but she needs to come up and beautify. Is this something that the women they do today? It is not. So a woman, she said, Ya Rasulullah, what if a woman, she doesn't have a jilbab? لِتَلْبِسَهَا أُخْتُهَا مِنْ جِلْبَابِهَا. This is how the Sahabiyat were. She doesn't have a jilbab, she goes, or a friend of hers, a sister of hers, she borrows her that jilbab. And the shaitan wants you to take that off on the day of Eid. It doesn't stop there. The photos, social media, her standing with Fulan and Alan, it comes out. A balwa that we have been afflicted with. Which is then a fitna for the guys. And I'm not defending the guys, I'm going to come on to them. We're coming. Sometimes you find that when we constantly speak about the women, emotions come out. Why is he always speaking on the guy or the women? Tell the guy to lower his gaze. We're going to come to it, inshallah. Why is he looking for? Why are you putting your photos out on social media? If only we knew, and I think I've said this in this message before as well, you know that it is worse to put your photo on Facebook than a woman actually going out to the shop, to the corner shop, and coming back without the hijab. A woman that puts her photo out without the hijab or beautified, it is worse than a woman that goes out to the shop and comes back. Let's just say there's a corner shop here, right? A woman, she goes and she comes back. How many men might see her? On a normal day, approximately 20, 15 people, right? Here on social media, Facebook. For those who know how Facebook works, you have 100 friends, each one has 10 friends. How you do the maths? Everyone has access to her photo. And what happens? Imagine she dies and her picture's there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, من دعا إلى الضلالة كان عليه مثل آثام من تبع لا ينقص ذلك من آثامهم شيئا. Whoever calls the misguidance, for him is the sin of everyone that follows him up on the misguidance. It doesn't take anything away from his sins. It doesn't take anything away from him. So you're in your grave. People have access to your photo. Some of them saved it and they're watching it every night. They're looking at you. Do you know there's some filthy guys that do that? He takes a photo and he's looking at a woman without no permission. You're in your grave and people are looking at your picture. And the sin carries on until when? Until Qiyam al-Sa'ah. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, I mentioned this yesterday in the khutbah as well. Taitan. There was a sister that my cousin knew. My cousin, I'm not telling you some fable or some novel. My own cousin knew this sister. This sister, she was a jilbabi. A woman that wears a jilbab. She used to dress from top to bottom. It's my sister. From our community there in Leicester. He knew her. And she used to put her pictures out on Facebook. She was wearing a jilbab. And obviously, if you're covered top to bottom, يعني you're not going to get attention. You're not going to get any likes. Normally, the guy tends to like the picture that he likes, right? But he can't even see you. And you know what, brothers? For those who don't know, women, they live on attention. Why do a lot of these non-believers, they go and cheat on their husbands? The guy's not giving her any attention. She walks past another guy on the street. He gives her some attention. Oh, you look good. They love that. And today we are a nation of likes. You know likes on Facebook? A nation of likes. We live on the likes. The amount of likes, okay, we gain confidence. The more attention that we get, the better that we feel. She wasn't getting any attention. Hey, the jilbab comes off now. The niqab comes off, sorry. Still not enough. But it's building up. Few likes are coming out. Now the jilbab comes off, then the hijab comes off. Now she's getting more attention. What do you think happened to her? A guy, she started speaking to a guy. He tried blackmailing her. If you don't do this with me, I'm going to do this. I worked in Photoshop back in the day. I got an A-star on it. You know A-star? But now I've totally forgotten. That's before I went to Yemen. I can take someone's head and place it on another body and make it look absolutely perfect. You just do a bit of glow, you do Photoshop. You know what he done? He got a picture and he stuck it on a naked woman and he spread it. That's what happens, brothers and sisters. To some sisters who may put their pictures out, she starts speaking to a guy, he wants to do something to you. Read between the lines. But because you're not going to do it, my cousin phones the sister and he says, what's going on? You used to be wearing this. You used to be like this. Wallahi, I never done that. That's not me. Some guy tried blackmailing me and he done this to me. The shayateen is going to be unleashed on the day of Eid. And he's going to try and put you in every evil situation. Guys, there's people that have died on the day of Eid. Wallahi, they died. Car crash took place. What were they doing? They were doing haram. For just one day. It's only Eid. One day. One day. You might not live after that one day. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember Him. Don't let your last statement be a song that you were singing in the club. Or a haram act that you were doing and you died like that. As you know, ladies first, we started with the women. And now we're going to come on to the guys. Ladies first. How did the Salaf used to come out on the day of Eid? Sahaba, the Tabi'in, the Tabi'in, the Tabi'in. You know, brothers and sisters, if we contemplate on the ayah, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجُهُمْ. Tell the believing man to lower his gaze and to preserve and safeguard his private parts. There's a specific reason, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, why lowering your gaze was mentioned before safeguarding your private parts. You know why? لِأَنَّ غُضَّ الْبَصَرْ أَصْلُ أَصِيلٍ فِي حِفْدِ الْقَلْبِ. It is from the origins of the fundamentals when it comes to it, looking after your heart. It is the biggest and the greatest fundamental when it comes to looking after your heart. Is it possible now for a guy to go and do zina with a woman without looking at her? Like a blind man. Is it possible? Without him seeing her? Without him looking at her initially? Then he starts speaking to her and all of these are forms of zina. Zina al-aynayn al-nadhar, wa zina al-lisan al-nutq, wa zina al-yad al-batsh. He takes steps. Unless you're an animal that's going to go jump on a woman in the middle of the street, but most people, they don't go through that. It starts with the look. If you have the issue, go fast. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us the fornication of the eyes is looking. The zina of the eyes is looking. The zina of the tongue is chirping, chatting to her, talking to her. And then the zina of the hand, touching her. That's the reality of the matter. It all starts with what? What does it start with? The feet. It starts with the eyes. And if you want to look after your heart, you want to preserve it, the aslu asilin fi hifd al qalbi wa mala, ghaddu al basar, to lower your gaze. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to lower your gaze, then safeguard your private parts. Because that can't take place until you do this. So Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, who was from the tremendous of the Tabi'een, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا نَبْدَأُ بِهِ يَوْمِنَا هَذَا غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ. The first thing we're going to start with on this day, on the day of Eid, is lowering our gaze. Guys, it's going to be a fitna. You know how I mentioned earlier? What did the Masuniya say? Can you tell me, please? Huh? Adiga? I speak Somali. What did the Masonic say? If you want to corrupt a nation, what do you do?
Start with women first.
Start with the women. If you want to corrupt a nation, you corrupt the women. Why do you corrupt the women? Because it is a fitna for the men. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, مَا تَرَكْتُ فِتْنَةً أَضَرُّ عَلَى أُمَّةِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. I haven't left a fitna that is worse upon my ummah and greater for them than women. Because you corrupt the women, you take the clothes of, you made them dress in a nude way. What happens? The man is going to take off. He's going to struggle. He's going to incline towards her. He's going to want to do fawahish with her. So what they tend to target, especially all these clothing companies, which are normally run by the Masonics anyway, the three Masons, they are trying to make the clothing as less as possible. Don't be surprised in 5 years' time that a woman is walking around naked. Don't be surprised. The way the clothing is moving, the fashion, it's becoming like that. So Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, he said, Sufyan al-Thawri, he said to him, they were from the tremendous of the Tabi'een, the students of the Sahaba. The first thing we're going to start with is what? It's lowering our gaze. And his story is even better. And you probably think that I'm a madman telling you to do this after listening to his narration. Another Tabi'i, Hassan ibn Sinan, again from the Tabi'een, students of the Sahaba. On the day of Eid, he left. On the day of Eid, brothers, please listen up. The last story that I'm going to mention, inshallah ta'ala. Hassan ibn Sinan, he left his house on the day of Eid. When he came back, his wife said to him, how many beautiful women have you looked at today? His wife said that to him. And he just ignored her. She kept on repeating it. It reached the limit, he said to her, wayhak, woe to you. I left my house, I was looking at my thumb, and I came back, I was staring at my thumb. Which helped him what? Lower his gaze. Especially with all these fitna that we have, we can start in our own communities, wallahi. Even if the people are going to think that you're a madman, it is safer for your heart. If you have a problem of lowering your gaze, especially on a day like this, then do what? Look at your thumb. Walk around like that. Who cares what they think? And bi-idhni Allah ta'ala yahsul khair. Even we can give so many muhadarat on these issues, but no matter what we do, there will always be this fitan. But the least we can do, us as a community, brothers and sisters, the sister, she dresses accordingly, she preserves herself, and the guys likewise, they look after themselves by doing what we just mentioned. And bi-idhni Allah ta'ala, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the state of the ummah until they change themselves. So we can work on our communities, we can work on the people that we know, advise them of how the salaf were. Not how my sheikh was or that sheikh, that. How the salaf? Sahaba, the tabi'in, the tabi'in. That's what salaf means. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we heard and to make us from those who benefit from the remaining of the Ramadan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to taqabbala minna du'ana wa siyamana wa qiyamana. Naam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. Come on, BBC.com now. Check the score, huh?